Discussion with Ajahn Suchen at Wat Bawan in Bangkok, September to November 1980. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Tadao, Maeve, Alan D., Nina W., Ivan, Jonathan, Soli, and Peter.
It can be the beginning of understanding, which is not as precise as the developed one.
Sampayutta Dhamma and Vipayutta Dhamma, we can see the difference between Nama and Rupa. That the Sampayutta Dhamma means only Nama. Rupa cannot be Sampayutta. Even they arise together, Rupa together with Rupa, or Rupa together with Nama, Rupa cannot experience any object, so it cannot be Sampayutta. While Nama arises together, falls away together, and experiences the same object. Co-originate, like Passa and Vedana and Sanya and Jetana, must be at one moment. Because Vedana cannot feel the object without Passa. So there must be the relationship between them to be Sampayutta Pati or Sampayutta Dhamma.
What about the elements and what elements depend on each other? This is not called Sampayutta.
Even they depend on Upadhyaya Rupa, depend on Mahabhuta Rupa. but they do not share the same object. So they cannot really be like nama. Natipatya, Anantarapatya, but Rupa doesn't have Natipatya and Anantarapatya. Because Rupa is conditioned by Kama or Citta or Utu or Ahara. Directly aware of nama as nama and rupa as rupa, to see that rupa is different from nama, because now visual object appears to see it. One has to be aware and learn to understand that visible object is not the seeing, the reality which experiences it. This is only in a moment. can be giving, there can be observing precepts without right understanding. But bhavana, both samatha and vipassana, must be done with right understanding.
But doesn't vipassana also lead to right understanding?
Different level. Samatha bhavana, it's the understanding of the difference between akusala citta and kusala citta, the wholesome citta and the unwholesome citta, at this very moment. So there must be the right awareness as well, but at level of samatha, which can be aware of the difference between akusala citta and kusala citta.
And one shall not in theory, but in the
not in theory.
Recognize
at this moment,
recognize what one's chitta is. Mm-hmm. But that won't necessarily condition a continuing stream of wholesome chitta, right? Sometimes we recognize that they discuss it to the level of knowing, which, but still next moment, unwholesomeness is about.
Next moment is next moment. What about this moment? There must be awareness of citta of this moment, and one has to be straight and be true to oneself whether this moment is kusala or akusala, which is very difficult to tell. Without awareness, it's impossible to tell the difference. At that moment, there is no right understanding.
Yes, but I think generally there's not precise knowledge of the difference between the two.
So it's only assumption.
Yes, but because there is there's more akusala, it's more likely that the assumption will be right.
Mm-hmm.
It thinks that what kind of conditions would you consider something that's
akusala?
Yes. Is it possible to get that kind of consider?
What kind of
mistaking akusala
for akusala? When there is no understanding. For example, at moment of giving, if one knows that usually there are more akusala moments than kusala, one might think that one had akusala when it's kusala. So taking kusala for akusala.
Yes, but I think that's probably much more common with them. For example, it sometimes seems to say in giving that there is no kusala, and yet theoretically there has to be some kusala in giving. But maybe there's a lot of anxiety or maybe an ideal exchange. And it seems to be no kusala.
Who knows if sati is not aware of that moment?
Sometimes it was necessary to
And when there are conditions, they arise at some, at different times.
But what I'm trying to point out is, I know aversion will never be wholesome, but I guess
it conditions the thinking that wholesome is has some advantage, and so even thinking so is conditioned. But anger is anger. It's wholesome. It's unwholesome.
Always will bring an unwholesome result for the person who's expressing it. But could it sometimes have a positive effect on the person? Is the object of that anger?
One is vipaka, the other is akusala.
So maybe in this case it's unwholesome vipaka for them, but it may lead to also to no understanding. The object of my aversion.
Anything can be object of understanding when there are awareness. But if there is no awareness, there is no right understanding. And it can condition the thinking that there is some advantage of being angry. Result is not by the anger.
We make the wrong connection. It seems as if the mental is over, feeling angry gets results. But in reality, the results are not happening to you that way. But we think it's suffering. So I had an offender come out just looking at you. Meaning. Yeah. You know, I'm not trying to say
thought as an understanding.
Does not harm anyone at all. It doesn't harm oneself and the others.
Is harm not a relative thing? Relative to what we call the three or one or the check or whatever you call it?
Mentally and physically. Buddha harm, anyone who wishes to be harmed.
But one can make the decision whether the person is because they are holding the desire or being poisoned.
Could you give me a sentence? It depends on intention, whether you'd like that person to have more attachment or to just enjoy themselves.
I find it nice something to someone which one thinks is harmful is in fact all that is wholesome. It's very presumptuous. Therefore, I will deny, I will withdraw the food, the person will be
with good intention.
What if one goes wrong?
It depends on intention.
In fact, it's got nothing to do with other person. It's entirely up to the one. Up to one.
You also think of the others. Better to give or not. Thinking of the other's benefit, whether it's suitable or not. That's kindness, isn't it?
That's where you can relegate the whole thing to firmness, giving, withdrawing, making decisions to what is the best approach to a situation. There's a clear level of acting and assumption.
Dana, the useful giving, is to give things to those who need it. Giving to the poor with kindness, that is kusala citta. That's true.
What about giving money to yourself?
What for?
Well, there's money. One doesn't know. If the person does a thing, say, well, I haven't had a room for a long time to do the same. Usually what is discovered by the desire to do at the same time the inherent danger in giving money which one knows can be spent on more and more.
Can one understand one's intention of giving? So one would know whether it's kusala or akusala. Sometimes when it's wholesome, it does mean that there must be understanding and coming at that moment. There can be just kindness without right understanding. To tell the wholesome moment because it's so short, it arises and falls away so fast. So there must be awareness of that moment in order to really understand whether it's kusala, wholesome or unwholesome. And it's not easy to tell. If it's easy to know this moment, then it's easy to tell that moment. The one who has developed right understanding enough can tell. This moment is easier to be understood than other situation. Is it easy to know this moment, whether it's wholesome or unwholesome?
I'd like to make it common that might be presented as wholesome to you, to the group, and in terms of what you're talking about, your problem, maybe to work. You were saying something about leadership. Is it possible, using very basic terminology here, to be bossy without being angry, without being attacked, and therefore be actually wholesome? And what I mean by bossy, you do this or you do this.
If one is not bossy, it doesn't mean that there is no unwholesome moment. But there are different kinds of unwholesomeness, changing from moment to moment. But usually one doesn't like to have aversion. But one doesn't mind to have attachment. To be a nice boss with attachment. It's unwholesome anyway. Usually people talk about how to get rid of anger, how to be nice, how to have no anger at all. But they don't talk about how to have less attachment and how to have more understanding of reality which appears. They try to get rid of aversion without developing right understanding. Having more understanding. Developing more understanding. Reality which appears now, this moment again. About the past and the future without the understanding of this moment. It is not helpful. Next moment would be seeing like now, hearing like now, or attachment like now, aversion like now, kindness like now. This moment can be proven because it appears.
What do you mean if you pass the future, how you will come? Are you suggesting that there is only now, which is the present, is only now, you continue?
This moment is not previous moment, right? And this moment is not the preceding moment again. So a moment is so short. Any moment which experiences an object is present. feeling.
That
visible object.
Maybe not.
Visible object? No visible object appearing?
If there's thinking, please.
It's not thinking, it's seeing visible object. It's simple, but it's true, it's real. And it's so valuable to understand reality or what anything which is real than just dreaming about it or thinking about it without knowing the true nature of it.
Next one.
Thinking about the object which is seen as people and things. So when there's awareness of a characteristic which appears, one begins to understand the difference between moment with awareness and moment without awareness. This is the beginning. Otherwise, just a moment, which is not moment, seeing moment, not hearing moment, because it's thinking moment. And awareness can be aware of any moment.
So thinking like anything else can be just kind of an
object of awareness. It can be object of right understanding, that thinking is conditioned. Thinking cannot stay. Thinking is not I, because it's conditioned. We cannot exchange our thoughts, because each thinking moment is conditioned. And at moment of hearing, it's not the moment of touching. So one understands the impermanent moment, which is conditioned, arising and falling away from moment to moment. And this is the end. No sound, no eye, which sees or which touches. Just a moment of experiencing an object. And thinking things about everything, forming up idea and concept and clinging to the conventional world. But if there is no realities arising, how can there be world of sight, sound, and concept of
invention?
It thinks. Like awareness of hearing, awareness of touching, awareness of seeing.
But the moment of awareness of seeing is no seeing.
So, how can there be object of awareness?
At the moment of awareness of seeing,
there must
awareness
be object
of
awareness.
No.
There
the
must
moment
be object of awareness.
Yes, it's the object. There's a moment of seeing, followed by a moment of awareness.
And seeing is not a word. Seeing is an experience.
There's an experience of seeing.
So it's just a reality which experiences.
Yes.
So one comes closer to that reality which experiences object through eyes, through ears.
The moment of awareness follows the moment of experience.
Of seeing.
It's awareness of the seeing,
the experience,
that experience.
Not the object which is seen.
It is different to the object.
Mm-hmm.
Different to the experience of what is seen.
Mm-hmm.
The question before about if there was thinking,
mm-hmm,
and then there's awareness of the thinking, that stop thinking.
Would
it would seem that you've already stopped it.
Would you like to stop thinking?
When?
Why do you bring this question if you don't want to stop thinking?
No, it's just that when the question was one about thinking, it would seem that at the moment of awareness of thinking, the thinking has stopped.
So no object of awareness then?
It's the object.
What is object of awareness?
The object, but it's not the thinking.
So what is the object then?
Well, this is what this is why I feel that the awareness comes after experience. Isn't it? You said that the awareness comes
ultimately
after experience.
Ultimately.
And that is what I feel, the enlightenment. You're sort of enlightened to the fact that you're
enlightenment means the fully developed right understanding of reality which appear as they are. And it has to be developed until it can directly experience Nibbana, the reality which is not the realities which always appear. The moment of seeing is a moment of experiencing visible object, and this must be directly experienced. It's not easy, it's not difficult to understand just seeing that it's a reality which experiences visible object, but to direct experiencing is not easy. But it can be directly experienced by developing awareness.
How can we see thinking just think?
Can one understand thinking that it thinks? The immediate result cannot be seen in short time. It's like holding the knife handle. Without the development of understanding of the experiencing as the experiencing, can there be the highest understanding or the fully developed right understanding of seeing and hearing by not developing awareness and learning to understand that visible object is not the experience of it? It does not appear as sound, visible object, smell, or tangible object. But whenever it experiences, it appears as an experience, an element of experiencing an object.